If you have your Bibles tonight, find, if you would, please, Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter number 13. I know in my heart that I've been moved to preach the message tonight. I have no goal other than to do what God wants me to do and to lift and encourage you tonight. I hope and pray that the message, whether needed in this moment of your life or the moments to come, will be one that you will remember and apply and put into practice. I hope and pray that it will be a tremendous blessing to you. And pick up, if you would, in Genesis chapter 13, verse number 1, to get a little bit of the context here. And Abram, who is also Abraham, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him into the south. You may know who Abraham is, but we understand that Lot, from verse number 5 of chapter 12, is his brother's son. It's his nephew. Bible says in verse number 2 of chapter 13, and Abram was very rich. He was rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks, herds, and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was, say that word, strife. Strife. I want to preach to you tonight a message entitled Surviving Strife. I know, like you know, and have experienced, like you have experienced, that strife is unfortunately part of life. Strife is something that, as you relate to people and as you relate in the different factions of people and the different areas of life, eventually you're going to run into a relationship where you're going to run into strife. Not necessarily is that so foreign and difficult on you when it happens where you think it should happen. But when strife happens in the relationships that are close to you, when strife happens in the relationships within the walls of this building, when strife happens within the brethren relationships, it can be tremendously difficult. And so I have found that, especially in counseling and working with people, we need to know how to handle strife. We need to know how to handle it, number one, to the glory of God. We need to know how to handle it, number two, for the encouragement of our own life. And then number three, for those that we are in strife with and toward. So we've come to a text tonight in Genesis chapter 13 where Abraham and Lot find themselves in a position of strife. It's interesting, this position of strife, because this strife develops in the midst of the blessing of God. It amazes me how sometimes when God is moving in our lives, or God is moving in our church, or God is moving in the blessing of our individual homes and things, how that even in good times, if we're not careful, strife can seem to come right out of the blue. It can come when we least expect it. And by the way, things are the most dangerous when you least expect them. And so here you have two men that are blessed of God. Two men that, if you look down at the end of verse number 8, the Bible says, that great phrase that Abraham will later quote, and I'll get to it, for we be brethren. So you've got two men that are blessed of God that are also related as uncle and nephew. But we find from the book of 2 Peter that Lot was a righteous man, just like Abraham was a righteous man. The Bible says that Lot vexed his righteous soul in Sodom. And so we understand that we've got a family relationship here, but we've also got a spiritual relationship here, two brethren. And they're blessed, and in spite of God's blessing, strife is developing. We're told in verse number 6 that the strife is so great. By the way, the strife was so great because their substance was great. Let me just say something. The more you have, the more problems come with what you have. You know, I guess we all want to be rich, but I got news for you. Rich people have problems. I'll never forget, I watched a lady bury her head on her dining room table, tears rolling down her face, uncontrollably sobbing, "I wish we didn't have a dime. I wish we didn't have a dime." Tremendous problems that brought. Their substance was great, and so that they could not dwell together. It's also interesting in verse number 7 that the strife develops within the fringe relationships. It's not necessarily between Abraham and Lot. It's between their herdmen, but they're brought in to the strife. Boy, that's usually what happens. It may not be between you and another, but we're brought into strife. The Bible says, "And there was strife between Abraham, between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land." And so there's a repercussion here of the strife. And if you look down in verse number 9, it says, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself." And so the strife is going to cause separation. In this case, separation is not always bad. Sometimes people enlarge and God moves and things change and there's a closeness there, but as the smallness enlarges and things happen, it's not always bad to separate. Listen, you can separate from people and still have a good testimony. And not all separation is bad. Paul and Barnabas, they separated. The land could not hold Abram and Lot. And so there's a strife that is developing because there's a lack of space. And now there's going to be a separation. And Abram sees this. Pick up in verse number 8. Abram has a tender heart. The Bible says, "And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife." I don't know about you, but I hate when there's a problem between me and somebody else. One of my gifts is that I'm a peacemaker. I know that I'm a peacemaker because I've had to make peace between a bunch of you in this room. But one of my weaknesses is that I'm a peacemaker. And sometimes you can sacrifice certain things just so you have peace. Abram is a peacemaker here. He doesn't want the strife. And so his heart is tender. In verse number 8, he says, I pray thee between me and thee and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, let there be no strife, for we be brethren. So Abram is moved in an honest desire for peace and a humble approach. He knows that there is a problem. It's a problem where strife is happening. He understands that there's going to need to be separation, and that's all fine and well. But he did not want to lose the relationship with his brother. And by the way, we shouldn't want to lose any relationships with our brethren. Amen. And so Abram is very tender here. He wants to handle the problem. He understands that the problem is going to necessitate some change. But he doesn't want to lose his brethren. He's got a humble approach about this. And we learned, even from this last week's message, as relating to one another, always securing your brethren should mean more to you than securing anything else. More than your right, more than your opinion, more than your prestige, more than anything is securing our brethren. So, hey, listen, Lot, I know we have a problem. I know we're going to have to separate. But listen, I don't want strife. Man, we be brethren. And so Abraham approaches in verse number 9. He says, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." Pretty gracious move on Abraham's part. You would agree with that, right? Abraham is taking the high road. Abraham's humbling himself. Abraham is making sure to secure his brethren. He knows there's a problem. So he goes to secure his brethren and he says, "Listen, you make the choice. You decide where you want to go." Abraham humbles himself and he allows Lot that opportunity. And by the way, when you deal with your brethren and strife is involved, humility is always the way to approach. You choose. It's interesting. Verse number 10, Lot makes his choice. "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." So Abraham humbles himself. "Lot, you make a decision where you want to go, and then I'll go. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Or if you go to the left, I'll go to the right." The Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes, and he beheld the plain. And then it's really important how verse number 11 is worded. "Then Lot chose," what's the next word? Him. "Then Lot chose him." Abraham says, "Lot, you make the choice." And Lot says, "I choose me." No, but there's strife. And we're going to have to separate. So Lot, you make the choice where you want to go, and then I'll go. And Lot looks up, and he chooses himself. He makes a very selfish choice in that moment. He doesn't care at all about Abraham's feelings. There's no thought in where Abraham will go. There's no thought in where Abraham will water. There's no thought in how he's going to move. Lot just chooses himself. All the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And so here you have two men that have come into a position of strife. You have one man who is honestly approaching the position of strife and wanting to secure his brother. He comes with a humble disposition, taking the back seat. And Lot, you make the choice. Now, most of us, we come from a humble disposition. It's just not a true disposition. Our mindset is, okay, now you make the choice, but it better be 50-50. It better be fair. Now, I'm being a nice guy here, and you get to go first. But don't screw it up. You make sure it's right. And don't you dare mistreat me now. You can have this, but... And Lot looks up, he sees all the water, and he says, "I choose me." Me. Maybe that's happened to you before. Maybe you've approached something, and really and truthfully, there's strife there. And really and truthfully, the choice should have been more 50-50, or the choice should have been a little bit more humbling on their part, but they just chose to take the whole enchilada. It's interesting, if you look at verse number 12, I'm not sure if your Bible reads the same that my Bible reads, but my Bible says, "And Abram pouted and cried and kicked and screamed and threw a little pity party and was mad and angry at God and wanted to back out on the deal. Does your Bible say that? No. The Bible said, and Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. So Abraham has approached it humbly. Abraham has allowed for Lot to make the choice. Lot has made his choice. It was wholly of himself. And you never find Abraham complaining. You never find Abraham murmuring. You never find Abraham pouting. You just find Abraham going on about his business. Abraham, at this point, is trusting the Lord. Abraham, at this point, is understanding his position with God, and he's just going to let Lot go and do what he's going to do. But Abraham is going to go, and he's going to do what he wants to do. Look at verse number 14. In verse number 14, after the decision is made, who shows up? The Lord shows up. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. All right. I quoted the verse earlier, but let's quote it again. For God resisteth the proud, but he giveth what? Grace to the humble. So here's Abraham. He's just like us. We get a problem with somebody. Strife incurs. And we don't want to be wrong, and we don't want to lose our brother. So we approach them in a humble disposition, and we say, okay, you do whatever. You go first. You make the decision. What can I do? How can I make this right? What can we do? And this person, instead of saying, hey, brother, let's work together, or hey, brother, I'm sorry, this person here says, I choose me, and I want it all. Most Christians cannot handle that moment. Most Christians go from this disposition of humility that we just get incensed with wrath, with anger, with rage. We look at that as, how dare you? This is what I get for being humble. This is what I get for trusting you, Lord. This is what I get for making this approach. And so what we do is what we do like most people do. We let somebody else's behavior determine our peace. Why in the world would you give the keys to your peace and to your joy to some selfish person? Don't ever surrender the key to your peace and your joy to some selfish person. You surrender the key to the peace and joy and find it in the person of our Savior. Amen. And so Abraham did not let Lot's selfishness affect him. Abraham did what he believed God wanted him to do. He humbled himself. He went to secure his brother. He allowed that brother to do that. And then the brother made his choice. Now, I'm sure Abram could have went and pitched a fit to God and complained about how unfair it was. But the Bible just simply says that Abraham dwelled in the land. And then the Bible says that as he's dwelling in the land, the Lord comes to him. You know, the Lord knows our hearts. The Lord knows when you approach a situation honestly and humbly. The Lord knows when you have extended grace and favor. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to somehow raise your hand and get God's attention. He always has his attention on you. And you've got to learn that no matter what in your life, no matter how well watered your life looks, there is not a single source of blessing without God. And learn to trust that. Learn to, you don't have to secure your 50-50. You don't have to secure that position. Let God secure that for you. So Abraham does what he knows to be right. Lot just messes that up fierce. But Abraham doesn't let that put him in a sinful position with God. Abraham just still trusts the Lord. Okay, Lord, I'm over here in this place, and it doesn't look well watered, but you're going to have to care for me. I don't see how we're going to make it, but God, I'm standing with you. Lord, I'm not going to let that affect me. I'm going to do what I believe you want me to do. You're going to have to learn to survive that. Acts chapter 24. Verse number 16, I need to teach you something. And Paul learned this. You're going to need this. You're never going to survive strife if you don't understand Acts 24, verse 16. Are you there? Okay. And Paul said, and herein do I exercise myself to always have a what class? Everybody see the word? To always have a what class? Conscience. Now watch this. Void of offense toward God and toward what? Men. Now let me teach you something about your conscience. Your conscience is that which God put into humanity that affects our moralness. Your consciousness is that which even an unsaved man has a conscience. The Bible teaches us that. That's the law of God that God wrote on their heart, and he wrote it in their conscience. And when the conscience goes off, it's a siren letting you know something is wrong. You've probably experienced that before. I hope I'm not the only person in the room to ever experience their conscience going off. When your conscience goes off, you should pay a lot of attention to your conscience. Behind that conscience, then, for the believer comes the Spirit of God. My conscience is going off. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. I don't have peace in this relationship. I don't have peace with what I'm doing. What's wrong? And then the voice of God will come. Tom, you totally mistreated those people. I did. Tom, you were dishonest there. And so my conscience goes off. The voice of God comes about me. Now, there's another side to that coin. And Paul said, hey, there are moments in my life when my conscience is not going off. It doesn't have an offense toward God, and it doesn't have an offense toward man. So listen, believer, there will be times as you come into strife with people, and you're going to appropriate yourself where you're going to come with humility, you're going to come making it right, you're going to want to come securing your brethren, you're going to want to do whatever it is, and you're willing to do and whatever, but their response is not going to be the same. You cannot let their response bring you into some position of sadness or fear. You've got to learn how to enjoy your clean conscience. Praise God we can have a clean conscience. And sometimes the very fact that God, you know my heart. You know I came to that thing honestly, God. You know I was broken. You know I would have done anything. This was their response. And God says, I do know, Tom. And so you will have to learn to live your life without the praise of men and the clear conscience that God gives us. Sometimes in our mind, we can't handle it if somebody has a problem against us. Well, listen, people have problems. You can't control what somebody else thinks. You can't control what somebody else does. So if you come to this church and you've extended yourself in some humble way to make strife right, and these people have not extended themselves in a proper way, you better learn how to live in the light of your clean conscience. Otherwise, you become a prisoner. Otherwise, you become bound to... Abraham didn't do that. Abraham said, you go that way, or you go whatever. Lot said, I'm going to go this way. And said, okay, go on. I'm going to go over here. God recognized Abraham's faith. God knew his heart. And Abraham just said, hey, I'm going to dwell in the land. God comes to visit Abraham. And God says, hey, man, I'm going to bless you. By the way, Lot fell into a lot of problems. Okay. Now, learning to live in light of a clean conscience is a necessity if you're ever going to grow. It is a necessity if you're going to maintain the joy of the Lord. If your conscience is going off, that means you didn't do it right. But if you come to a position and it has been right and God gives you that clean conscience, then you just have to go forward in that and stop letting them drag you down. People will drag you down. You got to understand that. But hallelujah, the Lord lifts us up. Okay, now here's the best part of the whole message. Here's what you cannot afford. Verse 18. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an, say it class, an altar unto the Lord. Okay, how imperative is this? And the reason this is imperative was usually strife between brethren strips both people from a position of worship. And Abraham did not let the strife of Lot, nor the decision that Lot made, to strip him from the ability to worship God. And so when Abraham said, listen, I've got a clean heart, I've got a clean conscience, I came to this thing humbly, you went your way, I'm going over here, I'm trusting the Lord, and in his honest trust of the Lord, he was able to build his altar and he was able to worship the Lord. Are you telling me that you would let somebody who has a different direction or a problem in the way they treat you, you can't let them stop you from worshiping God? And you've got to be able to worship God with a clean heart and with a clean conscience, irrespective of what they do. Abraham didn't really care about Lot anymore. He just was focused on worshiping the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. Abraham didn't hate Lot's guts. And next chapter, Lot gets himself taken captive. It's Abraham that goes and gets him redeemed. If I was Abraham, I'd have said, you got what's coming to you, bud. Tough luck, Chuck. Catch you on the go around. No, Abraham went and rescued Lot. But you can't let people drag you away from worshiping your God. And you got to learn how to handle strife. Sometimes you're going to want nothing more than to secure your brother, and your brother's going to want nothing more than his selfishness. Fine. But as for me, I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to do what I believe God wants me to do. You can go that direction, but I don't want to live one moment without the blessing of God upon my life. I don't want to live one moment without the ability to worship God. And I've got to learn, and you've got to learn, that just because somebody has an ought against me as far as they want to go that direction and they don't want to make it right, I can't let that rob me of my joy. I can't let that be the concentration. I give those people to the Lord. Lord, you know I came to it right. I'm surrendering them to you, but I'm not going to let that rob me of worshiping you. And then I'm able to go forward in that. If you don't learn how to survive strife, it will destroy you. And here's what happens. Problems, I'm done. Problems build upon each other real fast. You ever felt like you're just overwhelmed with problems? Everything's going great, and all of a sudden you got three things going on. You're like, how did I get here? That's kind of what happens in relationships too. If you let a striving relationship do that, man, they just start stacking right on top one another. And then before you know it, you're in a place of discouragement and all that. There's no reason to be discouraged if you have strife. Strife is good. Strife makes you check yourself. Strife makes you humble yourself. And then strife opens you up to watch God bless you in your obedience. Now, don't go out and cause strife with somebody just so it can be good for you. But you better learn how to handle it. You've got to learn how to handle people that aren't right. You've got to learn how to not let them drag you down. You've got to learn how to walk in the clean and clear conscience of an obedience of the Lord. And you've got to learn that even though somebody may have negative or whatever that direction, it's not going to rob me from worshiping. And that what I do is I give those people over to the Lord. And then I love them. I pray for them. If they have a need, I'm there. But I just understand, you got to do what you got to do, and I got to do what I got to do. And I'm going to tell you something. That's a pretty good way to live your life. You do what you want to do. Go on. Go do it. But I'm going to do what I want to do. And I want to do Him. And if that's you, say amen. You'll survive strife that way. You'll grow. You'll strengthen. You'll be able to handle things you never dreamed you could handle.